us on the mic, talking life and what's it like. Middle age, it's quite the ride, finding joy and chasing pride. Career dreams and daily grind, funny moments that we find. Letting go of yesterday, making paths along the way. Middle age.
Back at it.
All right. Well, here we are.
Hello, Trav. It's good to see you. Good. It is. It's a little rainy and dreary. There's always something interesting here in New Jersey when we connect. It's a little rainy and dreary here today. But
well, I wanted to be like you, so it's rainy and dreary here too.
In Ohio?
Yeah, it's gross here.
Cool. Well, we're on the same page.
It's our weather update.
That's our weather update. Trav, last time we spoke, you were preparing for an onslaught of guests to your town. How did the eclipse go, and how did you manage it? Did you hide in the backyard, or did you open your front door?
So, it's funny. Our little town was very prepared. Some called it not welcoming. Others called it overly welcoming. We had like 1,000 porta-potties brought in, because apparently that was a big concern. I've never seen so many porta-potties, even at like a live music festival. And I'm pretty sure that they brought in one for every person that came in town, because not that many people came, and it was really not that big a deal. And the eclipse was super cool. I don't know how much of it you saw, but the totality thing was amazing. And I while I didn't break down in tears or anything like some people promised I would, it was like it was pretty cool to see. And like the kids were cool with it, and you know, it was just kind of a neat science thing. And we watched it with the neighbors here in the neighborhood and didn't venture out too much. But yeah, it was kind of like a, yeah, that was a cool thing in the sky. I don't think we really needed to, you know, prepare for Armageddon, but hey, that live and learn, I guess. Better prepared than not.
Wow. So from porta potties to a great experience, it sounds like you had a great day.
I'm telling you, it was a banner day.
Are the porta potties still there?
No. In fact, I was very impressed with how quickly everything, including all the fencing and everything, so nobody would park on all our precious soccer fields. Like nobody left them up for longer than a day. It was like it never happened.
I'm glad to hear it went well. I'm going to share real quickly. I have a friend who's a NASA ambassador. He does a monthly satellite work at the library. He hosts a group. He's a really, really great dude. He gave me a pair of glasses, which I was really, you know, he gifted them to my entire family. I should have just basically taken a big black plate of steel and held it in front of my face. I couldn't see a thing. I didn't see a thing. I was all alone. I went outside and I literally could not see a thing. So that was my experience.
Well, you guys weren't in totality though, right?
No, we were not. But I talked to people in the neighborhood who were able to see stuff. I think he set me up. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So that was mine. I'm glad you had a great day though.
I wish I had told him to do that. That's amazing.
It was pretty funny. Yeah. It was pretty funny. So moving on, glad you're over that. That's cool. Moving on, quick hair care product review. Anything new?
Nothing new here.
Nothing. No, I noticed that you are cleaned up a little bit. You look good.
I am.
Let me just ask you one question, if you don't mind. Do you take a razor to your head?
I don't. Okay. I probably could, but I have a very lumpy head, so I just do the like the buzzer thing, like as low as it goes. No attachment.
How long does it take?
Roughly 2 minutes. It's not an exact science.
That's amazing. My wife cuts my hair. It takes a little bit longer, about 4. It's really nice to not have that barber bill, right?
I tell you, I haven't paid for one since I'm 43 now. I don't think I've paid a person to cut my hair since I was like 21.
Wow.
Somebody amazing. Do the math on that, because it's probably a lot of
That's
savings.
Amazing. You know, I think I've only been to a barber once in my life, and that's the truth. My
really?
Dad used to cut my hair growing up. Yeah, my dad cut my hair. And Paul. I think the day before my wedding, I went to a barber. That was the only time I've ever been to a barber.
Well, it looked lovely at your wedding, but Paul's pretty good too.
You know, everyone was talking about how lovely Christy looked at the wedding, but you're the first person who said that I looked lovely. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, it's credit where it's due. Christy did look lovely. Nothing to take away from her, but, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
So yeah, no,
All right,
no
thank you
AirTags
for the
actually.
update, Trav.
Yeah.
All right. We will continue to check in on that. It's very important, valuable information for our listeners. All right. Hey, well, speaking of listeners,
yeah.
I mean, I was pretty stoked to get five comments after our first show. What do you
Five.
think?
And it was like 100% return on my side, by the way.
That is amazing. I mean, not that we're like, parsing outsides or whatever, but that's pretty impressive. People must really like you. So why
And
don't we
you.
take turns? Why don't we each read and share this with our fellow listeners? Is that
All
okay?
right, you kick it off.
I'll go first. This is from a listener named Debbie. She said, "I loved your inaugural show. I only wish it had been longer."
Dang.
That is so nice.
Fan base established.
You know, it's so funny because I had other people telling me that it was way too long.
Actually, most of the feedback I got was, can you not talk as much?
We have to figure out what is going on with Debbie and why she's looking for more. That's kind of
That's
interesting.
great.
We will get to that at some point, I hope. Yeah.
For
Maybe she'll
sure,
write in again and explain why she felt that way. So you take the next one.
All right. I really, really enjoyed watching and listening to you and Trav banter during your inaugural podcast. It was like putting on my favorite slippers and curling up in front of a blazing fire on a snowy night. Bottom line, I simply felt a
Wow.
comforting and welcome part of your conversation. How cool, Luann. I've never been described as
Wow.
favorite slippers before, but it's now my favorite compliment.
That is very warming, very sentimental. I never knew we could ever even begin to have that sort of impact on someone.
No, it feels a bit braggadocious at this point, but I mean, I think we should take that and run with it.
Maybe we shouldn't read any of the other comments.
Quit while we're ahead. We've peaked. That's it.
All right, let's see what we got. Let's see what we got. This one came in from Kate. Given the heavy exam emphasis on dogs, I'm wondering if you've both seen the classic Best in Show. And if so, which character, human or dog, do you relate to the most? Thanks, and a big fan of the TNT pod already. Wow, this Kate even gave us a new title, which is
She
kind of
did,
cool.
and she hashtagged it.
That's pretty neat.
Oh.
Very. That's cool. I still don't really know what that means. What do you think? This is a great question. Have you seen Best in Show?
I have, yes. And I believe the
Okay.
sequel, at least one sequel. It's been a long time.
They made a sequel?
Yeah. I mean,
Wow,
if you want to
I did
take
not
all
know
of the comedy genius of that era and slap them on camera, like that's pretty much the hilt of it, in my opinion. But to answer her question, I'm gonna go. I looked it
Yeah.
up because I couldn't totally remember his full name, but I'm gonna
Yeah.
go with Harlan Pepper. He's the guy with the hound,
Yeah.
and he can name all the nuts. He's
You
like,
know,
he's
I
the guy at the
forgot.
party you don't dread coming, but he's also like, God, you're annoying. And I think that's how I identify in the world. What about
That is
you?
so. That was Christopher Guest, I think, right? Christopher Guest. Is that
It might have been,
his real name?
yeah, I think so.
I think I like Harlan Pepper better. That guy was hilarious. You know, that is spot on. I don't know if I would have assigned that guy to you, but that's a really interesting. That's interesting how you did that for yourself.
And he's a fly
So
fisher,
that's cool.
by the way.
Okay, he was a fly fisher. He drove an RV, which you don't have,
Yet.
but you may have that someday. I wouldn't be surprised if you just disappeared in your RV for a couple months.
No, I'll be in your driveway.
Then we're gonna have like a Christmas vacation type thing going
I
on.
like it.
Uncle Eddie, is it?
Uncle Eddie,
Yeah.
yeah. Actually, I probably more like him. What's your character?
That is not true. You know, I was thinking about this a lot. I love all those characters, and I'm gonna jump. I'm gonna divert a little bit from her question because she asked for human or dog. But I really felt that I related to. Do you remember the busy bee?
Yes. Yeah.
The busy bee and that couple is freaking out because they can't find their busy bee
Busy
for their
bee,
dog.
yeah.
The reason that this came to mind, and you know, it may not make sense, but I've had a really busy week. I think I got a little over involved in different community based activities, committees, things of that nature. So every night this week, it's just been really busy with a late board of ed meeting last night. So I'm taking that there, and then in the sense that this is a little animal that you kind of when you step on it or chew it, it squeaks, so it's annoying. And I kind of related myself to that as well. Like just kind of being like this obnoxious, presence. So
Also,
it's nice
though,
to hear that we both feel so highly of ourselves.
you know, the thing is, though, Tim, you're a lot like Busy Bee in that people can't do without you, though.
Oh, wow. I wasn't putting that together, but thank you.
Hey, there you go. All right, next one
That was
up.
really nice of you. Yeah.
Let's see here. This one comes from Rob. It's amazing to see you two together
Yeah.
again. Yes, you did start out in diapers together, which Nancy also confirmed. I would not count on your library for financial support, especially since your podcast partner has never been in a library. LOL. The man knows you very well. So
He does.
take that.
Yeah.
It's not exactly warm slippers by the fire, but we'll take
No,
it.
yeah. We need to hear from him again and hear
Yes.
what sort of comfort and satisfaction we bring to his life
Yeah.
and what place it puts him in. He may go on the opposite end of what we heard from Luann.
I'm gonna guess like trench warfare rather than fireplace with slippers, but yeah, for sure.
I was envisioning something along those lines. All right, last one. This is from Nancy. Nancy has confirmed the diapers timeline. So I stand corrected. I forgive me. And again, I don't remember that time. So I
You're
do
allowed.
feel as if though I deserve to be pardoned in this. I don't remember being changed next to you.
Pardon granted.
So Nancy said, thank you. Nancy said, what has been a contributing factor in your long friendship? And how can you instill this in your children?
Ooh.
Whew! Nancy, give us a break. We're only on our second episode.
Seriously, that could be honestly that she might have just come up with like a episode topic almost. I feel like that's too much to answer.
Going to take a shot at it.
Go for it.
So what has been a contributing factor in your long friendship? I think I'm going to do this like seriously for a moment. I think the opportunity that we had as young kids to just be outside and be free. I think that it really bonded us from a really young age when you're kind of building your foundational roots, when you're growing as a person, and these are really transformative years. And we spent a lot of time just running around. And I remember the alley. It was the corridor that connected my backyard to your backyard. And I would just be up and down that alley on my bike and bumping over to your house, knocking on the door. It didn't always involve a, hey, can we get together and play? And that was just sort of like, that was part of our childhood in Ohio. That was the way we grew up. And I'm really grateful for that. I mean, it was such a blessing. When I think about my kids now and, how things have changed over time and everything is arranged. There's less of the sort of the just random get-togethers and play. But I really do think that a lot of it is and was rooted in play. So I think it's a great question. How do we instill it in our children? No clue. I am failing on every level.
I'm gonna add on to that because I do agree that the
Yeah,
foundation
cool.
was there for sure. And that the foundation was not forced, to your point. There were no like I'm sure there were like parties and such, but there were no like play dates that had to be happening. It's like, hey, and now in hindsight, maybe they just wanted us out of the house, but it was like, hey, go check and see if Tim's around. You know what I mean? Go do something. That was the extent of the plan, and
Yeah,
then we'd
yeah,
be off and running. But in terms of
yeah.
longevity of our friendship and how to instill that in our children, I personally think that part of what you and I are very fortunate to have experienced is that while we had really similar experiences, we also had different experiences. Like you went to a different high school, and when you're an eighth grader and your best friend is off to another school, it's like, oh, okay, well, how do we work at still seeing each other? How do we how do we establish that when we're at such a pivotal time? And I think that actually contributed to it as well. For those of you who don't know, Tim's a lot smarter than me, and he went to a private school for high school, and I went to the public education
Thank you.
system
Thank
because,
you.
from a tax standpoint, they can't deny me. So, the no, in all sincerity though, I think that did help a lot. And I think it helped us to really establish the fact that, like, hey, we might be going to different schools, even colleges and so forth. We didn't go to college together or anything like that. But it's important to the both of us that we stay in touch. And we did, you know? So I good question.
Yeah.
Nancy.
Very good.
Instilling it in our kids,
thank
I think
you,
it's like
that was great. Yeah, I look forward to more.
I agree. All right. That concludes our listener comments. If you'd like to write in with more comments or even send us a voice file, you can do so at timandtravpodcast@gmail.com and we'll put it in the show notes and stuff like that.
Do you think if someone sends a voice file, you can figure out how to embed it into
the
show?
I am an entertainment professional. I'll Google it. But yeah, I think so.
That's true. That's amazing. Yeah, that would be amazing. I would love to hear someone talk besides the two of us.
All right, awesome wife moment. What do you got?
Yeah, let's do this. I got this. So last weekend, Christy and a couple other women who are mothers of I'm still on the Girl Scout thing right now, but they went camping for 2 nights in northern New Jersey. They're sleeping on cots, cold, rainy, miserable, right? I couldn't believe it. And they embraced it, had an awesome time. And once again, you know, a sign of strength, fortitude, compassion, just all these great things that she has and I don't.
Don't sell yourself short, but that's awesome she did that.
Yeah. So Trav, what was your awesome wife moment?
My awesome wife moment actually just happened yesterday, and it's one of those moments I don't know if anybody can identify, but as a father and a husband, I just watched her masterfully navigate the waters of a big feeling kid. You know, our oldest is an amazing kid, and he does a lot of great things, and he feels so much. He tends to feel with his entire presence and body, and it's awesome because he's very emotionally aware. It does lead to some challenges at times because we have to react and help him through some of the things when he's frustrated or sad or anything like any normal human emotion. So watching her go from handling me and not helping to make the matters worse with his frustration on a homework assignment, she stepped in and was the guiding force that we all needed in a very patient way. And I watched her sit next to him, having nothing to do with the homework at all, and just work through how to better express yourself, how to explain to us how we can help him to work through those things. How she basically translated almost with my son and I are very much alike. And so sometimes we butt heads because what he says triggers me or what I say triggers him. And yesterday I triggered him by trying to help him with his homework, and watching her just kind of liaise between the two of us too, to get us to a better spot in the future. And, you know, she's not a licensed therapist or anything like that, but she is a tremendous mom and an awesome wife. And that was my awesome wife moment, just watching her do that and coming to the realization yet again for the millionth time of why I'm very lucky as a husband and they're very lucky as her kids. So there you go.
I agree with everything you just said. I think that's a great story. You know why I will never have an opportunity to share a story like that? Because my kids never ask me for help with their homework.
Oh, you didn't ask. I just offered it because he was melting down.
I don't offer because I've learned quickly. I've gone in to help. I've been equally as confused when looking at the problems in front of them. And then I'm the one who's ripping up the paper and throwing it against the wall because it's so complicated.
You know
and then
what?
They get in
this
trouble the
terrible.
Next day. You
You're
know?
Right.
Well, I actually, real quick, I did have a moment. Exactly. I had a moment where I, for the life of me, could not figure out this problem. I mean, my 12-year-old, his seventh grade math, I'm not touching it. I can't figure it out. But what scared me one day was when my second grader came home with a problem that I couldn't figure out. Then I knew I had a problem.
Well, I mean, always says this, but they teach it so much differently now that it's like, whoa, let me relearn how to relearn.
Thank you for making me feel better.
No problem, buddy.
I did figure it out, for the record. I don't want to scare everybody off. I did figure it out, but for a moment I was like, wow, this is a great question. How many apples are in Rosie's basket? You know,
let's figure it out. Rosie.
So, okay, that's great. Yeah. So thank you. Moving, you know, let's keep moving. Yeah. Awesome things that you have seen, read, experienced. You want to go first?
Sure. So as I'm wont to do with my lizard brain, I got into a TikTok wormhole, and I know that makes me sound ancient, and that's okay. But one of the things that I've noticed, or the wormhole that they've put me in recently, is people doing covers of songs of varying levels of popularity, right? And the awesome thing that I took away from it was, how cool is it that we are in a world where a person with one follower of themselves, or a person with 5 million followers and more, can cover a song from maybe before they were even born and just absolutely show the world their talent in a really immediate way? And yeah, I understand that not everybody's great at it, but as a person who's tried to be a musician before and failed miserably, to the point where you'll never see me sing or pick up a guitar, I just thought it was awesome. It's like,
oh yes we will.
Episode 4. I just thought it was awesome.
Yeah, baby.
I just think it's awesome that we get to see those kinds of things when we normally wouldn't necessarily be able to, and that people are out there trying it. You know, that's the thing. It takes a lot of guts, in my opinion, to do that, and I appreciate it.
I think that's a great story. I have not dabbled in the TikTok universe, but I love what you're sharing, and I know a lot of people who find a lot of joy in those things as well. Sure. So thank you for sharing that. That's really cool. At some point, yeah, I would love for you to bring back that instrument that you used to play. I don't remember, what was it, the trombone?
Yes, it's the trombone. French horn.
You would sing and play French at the same horn. Time, right? The French horn. He can sing and play at the same time. wow, yeah. Amazing. So I'm going to be on this one. I recently discovered, and I really encourage people to check this out if you haven't done it already, and I think, Trav, you have, Dave's Killer Bread.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, give it a check it out. I read about it in a Costco magazine. I've walked past it in Costco, and listen, I'm going to get into Costco in another episode, how much I love that place. But, I've walked past it, you know, for years and thought, no, it's just not for me. Too many seeds, too many nuts, you know, it's just random stuff in that bread. It is amazing. The story is amazing. If you get some, time to check it out, about this gentleman, Dave, who came up with the original recipe. I think he was formerly incarcerated, came back, his family gave him another shot, and you know, look where it has come. So they hire a lot of people who were formerly incarcerated, you know, really believe in second chances. Mm-hmm. But listen, the bread is amazing. I love eating it. Nobody else in my household likes it, so it's all mine. I'm very happy.
Nice. Those are all winning things.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Yeah, so let's keep rocking and rolling.
Note from our sponsors. Thanks for that note from our sponsors.
That is one of my favorite moments. You know, I love hearing from them.
All right. So you want to get us started on the meat?
Yeah. I do. Thank you for offering that. So Trav, you know what, you know, some of the feedback that we got from our first episode was, so listen, guys, this is great. Really, really cool. What is your purpose?
Yeah.
Right. And a fair question. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've spent the past 42, 43 years trying to answer that, and we still haven't figured it out. So, you know, if we give this a good 40-year run, then maybe we'll discover by the end of it. But so I think, you know, what originally had kickstarted this idea, right, to begin, you know, diving into the podcast world was, that you and I both are kind of in this really unique and interesting stage in our lives. We're in our early 40s. We have kids. We're in a, you know, evolving world. We have this great history together. And, you know, we're just kind of trying to make sense of it at the same time. So The purpose of this and what we're really looking to explore in this first season together is, what this phase looks like. And we want to bring in some voices from our elders who have been through it and can share a little bit about it, what they went through, maybe answer some questions that may be interesting to us. And there's a lot of really, really big topics that, kind of encapsulate this time in our lives. And I think one of the biggest that you and I both have experienced recently is this idea of career, right? So what does it mean to have a career? How does it impact you? How do you impact it? And we're really looking forward to kind of diving into that topic, certainly on these first few episodes and maybe more, and continuing to kind of have conversation around that with other people. So do you
Totally.
think that's a fair kind of synopsis of where we're at this point?
I do 100%. And I also want to add too that neither you nor I are career specialists. We do not have advice that's founded in anything other than our own personal experiences. That's not a legal disclaimer by any stretch. It's more just a it's more just like a this we're figuring it out as we go, just like we have been all our lives. So, we'd love to hear from other people and get some guests on that can weigh in on their various things. And, I think you and I can both agree that we learn best from other people and from each other. So here we are.
That's it. Thank you.
That's it.
And are you telling me that the 10 licenses that I got online last night are not legit?
They are because you got a
I thought you
PDF
told me to go out
certificate.
and
Makes it official. Sorry.
All right, good. Because they're printed and hanging in my bedroom. Yeah, very cool. Okay. So Trav, we'll get into career. Why don't we just maybe real quickly couple little brief history on your career, my career, and where we're at now. Sorry.
Real
You want to
brief,
take it away?
sure. Real
Yeah.
brief. The CliffsNotes version is that I've worked in production of the television or multimedia sort for about 20 years, and that took my family and I out to Los Angeles for 13, almost 14 of those years, and now we are back in Ohio. And as we talk about transitions, that'll be a topic that we discuss. Primarily, my job in production is a producer, which can mean any number of things, but basically what you should think of it as in general terms is like a creative team leader, project manager, those kinds of things. So that's where I approach things in a very collaborative and fun way. We often joke that it's not like a quote unquote real grown-up job. A lot of the folks that I work with and have enjoyed working with, like we wear shorts to work. I see people picking up their kids from daycare in suit and tie, and I'm like, what's that like? He's like a real adult. So it's not that. I'm a very casual person by nature. So I have loved my 20 years in production, and I've learned a ton and I've experienced a lot, and it's been a blast. So that's my CliffsNotes version of my career. What about you?
That's awesome, and I got to give you a shout out because, well, listen, I got before we jump in there, we got to give you a shout out. You've been a part of some incredible
Oh,
productions that,
thanks.
hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people have enjoyed, right, across the globe. So we'll get into that later, but you brought through your efforts a lot of joy and peace to a lot of people.
Thanks.
So
I
I think it's
appreciate
pretty
that.
awesome and deserves to be highlighted and celebrated. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
So I have been for my entire professional career in the social service or social impact space. I have had a great opportunity to live and learn from lots of live with and learn from lots of incredible thinkers and leaders in that space. I've been able to work in some pretty difficult places, and both inside the country and outside the country, and have just really enjoyed and been grateful for the opportunity to engage with people, often marginalized, low income, people who are experiencing extensive trauma, abuse, neglect, violence. I mean, things that, nobody wants but are very present. So, over the years I've grown, I've worked in housing, I've worked in behavioral and mental health. And currently, find myself working for a really interesting nonprofit, that is focused on African affairs. So I'm really excited to share that with people and talk more about that. And most recently had a period of time where for the first period in my entire adult life was experiencing unemployment. and you know, kind of going through the highs and lows of that. And you know, definitely a lot that I took out of that experience that we will get into in more detail, but that's sort of my history in a very condensed fashion as well. So thank you.
And
So
hang on, before,
we will talk more, Trev.
oh
Oh, go
yeah,
ahead. Yeah.
before we brush past that, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't point out the fact that Tim is one of those rare breeds of people who are constantly helping others. He is quite possibly the most selfless person I've known my entire life, and has always been that way. And so when it comes, no, you can shake it off all you want, but when it comes to who you think about putting good back in the world, that's Tim Cummings. So, you know, as I make fart jokes for a living, you're out there helping people. So thank you for that. And it's awesome. I know that that's been a lifelong mission of yours, and it's not lost on those who know you. So.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. All right, so one of the things that we like to do to kind of capitalize on this topic, and when we bring on guests, we want to kind of consider this as well, is ask a pretty, you know, a big question that can be fun and is meant to be kind of, you know, insightful. So, Trav, I'm going to present this to you if that sounds good.
Sure.
All right, cool. So the question is, what event, circumstances, or individual, or other, frankly, had the most profound impact on the person you are today?
So it's interesting. Not to say that my life is interesting, but more so, you have these moments in your life where you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Well, we're actually doing this." And I can't really narrow it down to one specific person. I've been extremely lucky in the sense that I have had so many different people who I consider mentors, who I consider friends. You know, and we can talk about those folks more as we get into this. Just had a profound impact on me. But the moment that really stands out to me was part of my process of moving from Columbus, Ohio, where I went to school, to LA, Los Angeles. And it was a moment where I was standing right outside of a door in Hollywood. And I say Hollywood as a general sense of Hollywood, is at Universal Studios, which is in the Valley. And I was standing outside this door, meeting a person that I'd never met before, had no connection to really whatsoever. And I was all of, you know, 26, 25 to 26 years old. Just got off the plane from Ohio, literally. Had not yet moved to California. And I kind of took a moment and I said, "Wow, all right, this is happening. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to go meet people. I'm supposed to put myself out there. This is taking, if you know me, that's not really in my nature. I'm not the biggest personality in the room. I am not the one who wants to be on the ballroom floor, you know, under the disco lights. I'll point a camera at that person, but you know, I'm not a big attention seeker by nature. So this was a very meaningful moment for me, and it probably meant little to nothing to the person I was meeting. I remember who I was meeting, but I never went on to work for that person or anything. Just as the way it worked out, it was just a nice person that was extending 15 minutes of their time to give me some insight on what it might look like to work in television or film. And that was the pivotal moment for me, where I got back on the plane, came back to Ohio, started packing bags, and said, "This is it. This is what we're doing." And that I knew from that meeting that nothing would come of it. It didn't matter. That wasn't the point. It was a thing in me where it was like, "This is not going to fail me. This is not going to be a thing where I turn around and just say, I flew out there. It wasn't really for me after one meeting." It was a, "No, I can hang here. This is what we're doing." And I walked out of the Universal gates. And you know, studios have these kind of cool, grandiose, historic gates, or you know, very, very picturesque looking things for the tourists to snap photos of as they drive by. And it was one of those like, "No, this is me. This is what I want to do." So, yeah, that was my pivotal moment. And it's, you know,
I love that.
on a couch in a lobby somewhere.
But isn't that great? I love that. And I have not heard that story, so I loved hearing that just now. And I think it's a great indicator or a great, way of highlighting or showing how oftentimes the things in our lives that we are engaged in are there for potentially even a different reason, right? That we're moving through something to get to the next step. And you knew that this interaction with this individual was, it wasn't the end goal, but it was a piece or of the puzzle, right? It was leading you in the
Exactly.
direction that you needed to go. And so that's an awesome story. I love that, and I just appreciate you sharing that with our two listeners.
Mom and Dad, now you know.
If you haven't told your parents, now they're aware. That is cool, man. Thank you. I love it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for asking. Leads us into Tim's dog therapy.
I don't know how I feel about this. I'm hoping that it's going to lead to good results.
Have a feeling it will.
I hope so. Let me just say before we jump into it, if you don't mind, I know you probably have questions. I think some of the listeners may have questions ultimately about this, but my dog, she's been doing this for a while. Like, she stares at me. She follows me around the house and just stares at me.
Really?
Yeah.
She plotting your death?
Maybe, and it just makes me feel like it makes me feel like a horrible person because I'm like I don't I know she wants me to take her for a walk. At least I think that's what she wants, right? She's waiting for me to walk towards my shoes or something. But man, it
Okay.
drives me. I'm really struggling with her just walking around staring. All
Can
right,
I ask,
but
are you
anyways,
the only one
yeah.
who feeds her?
I'm not. My kid. I usually no. I'm not. But I'm most of the time. I am. That's a really interesting question. Most of
Gotcha.
the time, I am. I'm largely the one who walks her.
So she looks to you for a lot of the daily attentiveness stuff.
And then I'm working from home largely too, so I'm here with her. Right. So I have to say, as this came up last week, and we decided to include this as a segment, it was ironic that in the mail, my children subscribed to this magazine called The Week Junior. It's actually pretty good. I sometimes read it to get my news fill. But so this came in the mail. I brought it with me. And look at the topic.
The Week Junior Pet Power. Discover the big benefits of animal companions.
When
That's a
this came in
sign.
the mailbox, listen, I went right to page 10 and I was like, maybe I'm going to learn something here. And the first thing that it says, right, the title banner says, "Pets are good for our mental health," and it has this boy holding up a bunny. I disagreed with most of what was in this article. I did. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm more anxious, I'm more frustrated. I mean, the only thing I can say is this. Like they said in this one, they studied, they did a survey of 2,000 adults. American adults were polled. So let me just read you these statistics real quick. Among pet owners, 84% said their animal companions had a mostly positive effect on their mental health. Wrong, right? So I'm in the 16, obviously.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And then about 64% of pet owners said that their pets provide unconditional love and support. Wrong. No. While 62% of respondents said their pets provide a calming presence and reduce stress and anxiety. That is the exact opposite of what I'm experiencing.
No, you're
I don't know,
definitely
man.
in on the other side of those statistics.
Yeah, I look, I'd love to get to the other side of this if it exists. But at this point in time, I think that I am in trouble.
How old is the dog? How old is she?
She's like 4. She's not old enough, let me put it that way.
Was gonna say you got a lot of life left, buddy.
I think I
Right,
hear
well,
her
if you
barking in
have
the back right
it,
now.
that's fine. If you have a
So
tip or suggestion for Tim, I know one of our listeners, Kate, is a literally a licensed veterinarian with a
yeah.
doctorate. So, maybe we'll have to have her on and she can tell you all the things. I mean, it's her fault that you have the dog in the first place. So,
It is her
maybe she can
fault,
come on
yeah.
and help you out.
She could end this very quickly. She could end the pain, the agony very quickly. I could drive the dog to Michigan and she could just do. I'm just kidding. I don't mean to say that. That's
She could take
wrong.
the
That's
dog.
wrong.
She could take the dog. She
She
could
could
take the
take the
dog. She
dog.
could She could take the duck. Yeah,
You know, there's
that's
moments
what
where
we're
and
worried
I
about.
ask my children, I say, do you think we really need to keep Abby? I mean, that's where I'm at times, to be honest with you. I know, that's
And to
terrible.
clarify, the dog is Abby. Abby is not his daughter, it is his dog. People don't know you, so you got to be really clear about this.
That's true.
You don't want
All right.
CPS knocking on your door.
Bring the tips, bring the suggestions. I'll do my best. And I'm not going to kill my
I
dog,
love it.
just for the record.
No, we're not those people. All right. Well,
Good episode,
look,
man.
I think we're right at the half hour mark ish. So,
Yeah.
thank you all very much for joining us and sitting through this. We promise to get to actually to the point like we promised today, and we will have more guests, and we will actually have meaningful topics to further discuss in all things midlife and mid-career transition, etc. So thank you for joining us. We so appreciate it. And don't forget Tim and Trav podcast at gmail.com if you would like to send us a question or a comment or an insult. We're not that fragile, so we can take it.
Can't wait. Travis, good to see you. Thank you.
You too, Tim. Thanks much.
Tim and Travis on the mic, talking life and what's it like. Middle age, it's quite the ride. Finding joy and chasing pride. Career dreams and daily grind. Funny moments that we find. Letting go of yesterday. Making paths along the way. Middle age. Middle-aged mayhem breaking free, finding out who we can be, laughing, learning all the time. Tim and Travis in their prime. Every step a brand new plan, older, wiser, still we stand. Navigating through the years, sharing stories, laughs, and cheers. Tim and Travis in their prime. Every step a brand new plan. Older, wiser, still we stand. Navigating through the years, sharing stories, laughs, and cheers. Middle age, enjoying the fun. Middle age has just begun. Tim and Travis lead the way. Every episode will slay.